Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Samina Spin, Episode 12, My Deliberate Distance from Politics. Hope everyone is well this fine Wednesday evening. Happy Diwali to those who celebrate. If you'd like to call in and give me your spin on politics or whatever, you can call in 323-642-1775. Again, call in to 323-642-1775. I would love to hear from you. So Will Rogers said, "I don't make jokes. I just watch the government and report the facts." That's really how I feel about government in general at the end of the day. You can't make certain things up. There is so much that goes on that you don't know about. I don't feel its real purpose is to serve the people anyway. Its real purpose is to control the people enough so they can keep all the real wealth and power in the hands of a select few. If, at the same time, the whole world doesn't go shithouse, that's a bonus. The control factor is a real problem for me because I won't be controlled by anyone. At the end of the day, though, I do have a moral compass and I respect laws. At the same time, I do keep a deliberate distance from politics. I don't delve too deeply if I can avoid it. Although I did vote in the midterms. It's my right and my voice. And this one brought a little bit of a smile to my face because it was a series of firsts. You had two Muslim women become members of Congress. Two Native American women became members of Congress. You had two Latinas from Texas and a Latina, I believe, became governor of New Mexico. You had an openly gay governor in the state of Colorado. And a whole bunch of diversity that I was really pleased with. Maybe there's hope for us after all. I won't be too deeply involved, but I'll be watching. Believe it or not, my first real impression of politics was in first grade. We had a mock election in our school, Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, 1980. I remember a sense of dread when Reagan won our mock election. I saw some of my classmates cheering, but I was just like, ugh. Even in the first grade, since I had older brothers and sisters, and generally followed what they said about anything, I already developed a deep disdain and distrust for the Republican Party. I know my sister's opinions infiltrated my head. Or maybe it was the fact that one time I saw Reagan get impatient with a black woman who was giving him a hard time. I also remember, since we were the first non-white family I can even remember in my town, some people gave my brothers and sisters a hard way to go. My oldest brother would be stopped by police for driving while brown. I remember the ridiculous questions people in school would ask them because they were born in Africa. So were there monkeys outside your door? Did you see lions? Did you throw spears? I really think those were honest questions. I think they seriously thought maybe my brothers and sisters saw monkeys outside their window because they lived in Africa. Since I was born in this country, I got a different brand of stupidity thrown in my direction. Does your family own a 7-Eleven? Or if I was squabbling with someone and they didn't have a real comeback, I was either the N-word or a brown bitch. Somebody actually did say that to me. She actually called me a brown bitch. My town was mostly Republican, so is it a wonder that I associated the Republican Party with racism? Then when I became an adult, I found it was the Reagan administration that introduced crack to the black community in LA to fund the Contras. An entire Republican administration decided an entire community was expendable. Even if I ever really involved myself in politics, the Republican Party has nothing for me. I'm sure they would want no parts of me either. I was a blazing Democrat for most of my life. I've always been a blazing liberal. So the first election I could vote in was the same year I went to college. I made sure I got my absentee ballot. I made sure I voted for Bill Clinton. I voted for him twice. I loved him both times I did it. I put my Kool-Aid aside, so now not so much. Then came the Bush Jr. years. Him and Cheney actually reminded me of Darth Vader and the Emperor because it was Cheney who was calling the shots. Cheney was more evil than W could ever be. When W left office, I actually started to like him. During his years is when I really started to notice things that disturbed me politically. Like, for the first election, the contested state was Florida. W's fucking brother was the governor of Florida at the time. And the press didn't question anything? W's brother is the governor of Florida, and that's a contested state. Something's wrong with their voting machines, like there always is. And nobody questions anything. No members of the press questioned anything. Then, I'm not sure which term of his it was. I don't know if it was the first term or the second term. Michael Moore got on stage at the Oscars accepting an award documentary. I think it was Bowling for Columbine. He talked about documentary filmmakers showing truth in fictitious times with fictitious election results. He was booed at the Oscars as he was talking. How do you get booed at the Oscars for saying something liberal? And it's California. It's probably the most liberal state in the union. That's when it really started to hit me. There's a lot of shit that goes down that nobody talks about. Not even a free press. At first, I thought it was the Republicans. I had the guilty of confirmation bias. Instead of looking at the whole picture, I only look at the parts that prove what I was already thinking. That was in the past. Then I started opening my eyes a little more, started to really try to look at things from someone else's perspective. If I want someone to look at my perspective, I have to be willing to do the same thing, right? So I started to be more balanced in my views and started to pay attention to the sources of what I was reading. So I started to educate myself a little more. Then Obama came along. I loved how he spoke. I loved his ideas. I fucking canvassed for him, something I will never do again for anyone. I made phone calls. I went door to door. I will never do that for another candidate for the rest of my life. I just won't do it. Anyway, I love that he talked about closing Guantanamo Bay and improving health care. He didn't close Guantanamo Bay. Then he let himself get bullied by Republicans to water down his original version of Obamacare. To me, he didn't fight hard enough. Then I started to see the discrimination against Muslims that was happening even in his administration. The sting operations that were pretty much entrapment operations, those kinds of things. The drones he sent into Pakistan that killed brown children who didn't look like his. Yeah, he wasn't perfect either. hell of a lot better than what we have now, but he wasn't perfect either. Then I started to realize some of the mistakes Clinton made, like Rwanda, fucking genocide that he didn't do anything about because the U.S. didn't have a vested economic interest. And he was a Democrat. I thought they were supposed to care about people. Then I realized that mandatory sentencing nonsense that gave poor black people 25 years for a dime bag of weed. That mandatory sentencing was under his watch. I started to realize it doesn't really matter who the president is because things are going to go down how they're going to go down. And whoever the president is, Democrat, Republican, they're going to cater to whatever it is they think they have to cater to at that moment. It kind of doesn't matter. It's beyond presidents, though. The congressmen, senators, Democrat and Republican cater to the people who write the biggest checks. Our laws are decided by the vested interests of the donors, not the vested interests of the people. Why does the DEA classify marijuana as a class one drug when a real killer like fentanyl is only a class two? Marijuana has never been shown to kill people. Fentanyl has. We know fentanyl has killed people. We know about the opioid crisis. But these drugs still get prescribed to people by doctors. And fentanyl has a lower rating or lower ranking than marijuana. Why do you think that is? Some fucking big pharma lobbyist. How many drugs that will out and out kill you get approved by the FDA? We have the finest lawmakers money can buy. That's why it doesn't matter who the president is. When I started to look at some of these issues deeper, I made a decision to just keep backing away. Like I said, I'm not canvassing for anybody. I'm not making phone calls for anybody. I almost didn't vote in the 2016 election. I did vote, but my vote didn't make that much of an impact because Darth Vader of the millennium still got elected. What sucks about that is that I knew I was making a choice between two piles of shit. I just chose the smaller one. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, one of my problems with her is that she typifies that notion of elite liberal who doesn't care about the working class. Did she deign to go to some of the rural areas while she was campaigning? She pretty much ignored them. She pushes agendas to benefit corporations just like the Republicans. When she was Secretary of State, she did that. When she was Secretary of State, she involved herself in Haiti trying to raise their minimum wage to 61 cents an hour. And 61 cents an hour, but because it conflicted with manufacturing businesses in the U.S., she made them lower it to 31 cents an hour. She made them lower it by half because the manufacturing companies didn't want to pay 61 cents when they make billions. Yeah, she's really about the working class. That's why she lost. Well, one of the reasons. She's just quieter, though. She's just quieter about the corporation interests that she promotes. And what happened to the $30 million that the Clinton Foundation raised that was supposed to go to Haiti? They're still waiting for it. Let's leave Hillary Clinton alone. Let's not even get into how the DNC screwed Bernie Sanders. I'm pretty certain voters were suppressed in that election. Voters who wanted to vote for Bernie Sanders, I'm pretty sure they were suppressed. And the only reason I'm saying that I'm pretty sure, and I won't say definitively, is that sometimes, because I don't want to know the answer, I have my feeling about it, and I don't want to know the answer. I don't find out for sure sometimes, but I'm pretty certain that's correct. They suppressed Sanders voters so Hillary could get the nomination. But they screwed poor Bernie. I realize how deep I have to go. Like I said, I realize how deep I have to go to understand what's really happening. And then when you look at news outlets, most of them have a bias. You have your conservative ones. You have your liberal ones. I actually do look at the conservative ones because, like I said, I like to see everybody's perspective. But the liberal ones have a bias. Every news outlet has a bias. When I do look at the news, I do look at alternative news media, but even they're a little biased. I don't care how objective of a journalist you are. Sometimes your own little biases get in there. It's just human nature. I actually look at international news outlets too when I do look at the news. I do pay attention, not as much as I once did, but I do pay attention. And I know just enough to know what's going on, especially when things are really going to affect me. Again, I actually voted in the midterm, something I haven't done in a long time. My vote really is my voice. And I'll be damned if I let these fools make laws that affect my life without me having a say. At the same time, I keep it all in perspective. I don't fully invest myself, although social justice is a passion of mine. Our system is fundamentally flawed. We have too many politicians who are bought and paid for. Like I already said, you'll never see me canvass again because it just doesn't matter who the president is because there are so many other forces at work. It's up in the air whether or not I'll vote in another presidential election. Most likely I won't, but never say never. I definitely won't watch debates because it's all rhetoric. I'll wait and see for the action. Okay, what are you saying you're going to do? All right, let me see if you do that. But I'm not going to sit there and watch point and counterpoint and flagrant lies or whatever about the other person. I won't do that. The State of the Union address? Oh, forget about it. Even when I was on the Clinton bandwagon and love Clinton, I wouldn't watch a State of the Union address. As a matter of fact, it was one of his where I just decided that all this is 20 different ways to say everything is good. No real depth to anything. If you want to know the truth, dig for it. And I'm pretty certain I won't get to choose watching the State of the Union address. But yeah, I will not watch that. That, to me, is such a big waste of time. I take my girl, Daenerys Targaryen's approach, if I can say her name right. Daenerys Targaryen. Love that show. I love Daenerys Targaryen. She said, Lannister, Targaryen, Baratheon, Stark, Tyrell, they're all just spokes on a wheel. This one's on top, then that one's on top, and on it spins, crushing those on the ground. She's talking to Tyrion, and then Tyrion tells her, basically, it's a beautiful dream to stop the wheel. Then she says, I'm not going to stop the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel. That's all politics is. It's a wheel. One time the Democrats are up, next time the Republicans are up, and it just keeps going. Since I'm in no position to break the wheel, I'm just going to stay off it. If you like what you've heard in this podcast and would like to hear more from me, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. If you would like to read my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, you can check it out on www.SaminaKMughal.com. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.